In the name of Jesus Christ, I extend a hearty Christian welcome to all persons worshiping with us this morning in the sanctuary, as well as worshiping with us on the radio. We have two announcements this morning. First, the Presbyterian women are inviting everyone to the reception to welcome Dr. John McDonald, his wife Ellen, and son Logan. This is to be held immediately following this worship service today in the fellowship hall. And then secondly, choir rehearsal begins this week. Let us worship God.
Good morning, church family. Currently, I am blessed to be the Presbyterian Women's Moderator. And as such, we have the privilege to invite the women of this congregation and beyond to join us in fellowship and Bible study once a month, the first Monday of the month, either in the evening or in the daytime. This month, we'll meet Monday, September 10th, due to the Labor Day holiday tomorrow. We have a very mission-oriented outreach that goes together with our Bible studies, and therefore we draw up a handbook every year. So I'm glad to let you all know that the new yearbook is ready. It's lying in the narthex and the Sutherland entrance and upstairs in the fellowship hall for you all to pick up and see what all we do as a congregation of women within this Presbyterian church. Have a great service.
Let us join together in the responsive call to worship. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers, so that you may be blessed in all that you do. Let us worship God. Our hymn of praise this morning is hymn 455, All Creatures of Our God and King.
All creatures of our God and King.
Let us pray together the prayer of confession, and then in silence bring to God those sins that lie in our hearts. Let us pray. God of strength and might, we confess our neglect of salvation's armor. We have not girded our loins with truth. The breastplate of righteousness is tarnished by our lax behavior. Our feet are caked with mud from battles fought unshod by the gospel of peace. We have laid aside the shield of faith and weakened our defense in a hostile world. Help us once again to don the helmet of salvation and to raise the sword of the word against the powers that oppose you, so that in all our struggles we may rely solely on your strength. Receive the assurance of pardon. Hear for your comfort the words of Paul, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Will the children come forward?
It works. It works. Excuse me. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. So, today is what day?
Church day.
It is a church day, yes. And what day of the month is it?
September 2nd.
September 2nd, that is right. We are in the month of September now. So, how many weeks have you been in school so far? A month and 2 days. I bet it seems like it, doesn't it? I know. Well, it's been about 3 weeks. So do you think you deserve a little break?
Yes.
Well, guess what? You get one tomorrow. Labor Day. That's right. That's right. What does the word labor mean?
Celebrating work.
So to celebrate work, we're not going to work tomorrow. How about that? Does that sound pretty good? Yes, James.
Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, I already had 2.5 days off, so I have one more day.
Yes, you do. One more day. Isn't that wonderful? That is a blessing. That is a big blessing. So, yes, Labor Day, it means to work. So, I brought some things here. What does this represent?
Firefighter.
A firefighter, yes. And do they work really hard?
Yes.
What do they do?
They put out fires and save people.
Fire saver.
They put out fire from big buildings that accidentally happened, and then they solve what happened or who set it on fire.
Okay. So they help a lot of people, don't they? All right. I've got another hat here. What is this?
The Army is where they go to war and try to protect their country or their states or their friend, anybody in the world.
Right.
The military.
Are they serving our country to help protect us and fight for our freedoms? Right, yes. And the firefighters are serving our community, the ones here in Danville, to help protect us. Oh, who else?
The police officers.
Oh, yeah, the police officers. I couldn't find a police officer hat. Sorry about that. Well, tell me what you think this might represent. No, it's some washcloths. I found them outside in the Northex near the Sutherland entrance. What does that represent, do you think?
Clean.
Okay. What else?
Like janitors, like cleaning stuff.
Okay. It could represent people that help clean, right?
Windows at work.
Okay. But you know what this is? This has something to do to help serve others. Like we just talked about the firemen and the military, the people that serve our military. We're bringing these in to make some bags to give to our lunch ministry folks to help them, like the people that come for lunches on Saturdays, like soap and washcloths and maybe some shampoo to help them. They may not have those, and that's a way we can serve and serve God, right? So what are some other ways that we can work for God?
Do nice things.
Like what? What's one thing we do? We help with the lunch ministry, right? What's something else we can do to help serve God?
We could give money to the poor.
That's right. Give money to the poor. Okay, James.
We could help poor people get shelter, food, water, anything.
That's right. That's a good one. That's very good. Okay.
Help the community.
Okay, and how can we help the community?
By giving them all the stuff that they need.
Giving things to people that they need? That's right. There are lots of ways. What about dog food? What could we do with dog food?
We could give it to dogs.
Right, we could give it to dogs, but what else? What about the Humane Society? You think they maybe could use some over there with the animals they have?
They could help them feed the dogs that, at the pound. Mm-hmm.
Right, and we could volunteer over there.
We could help if dogs run away and they don't have a shelter, we could help them and give them dog food, water.
And some love, some good petting, yep.
I love animals.
Yes, I do too. I love animals too. Well, tomorrow is a day that we celebrate work and all the hard work that people do. And we talked about some. But we have to think about some ways. And we're taking a break tomorrow. But can we serve God? Can we work for God every day?
Yes.
And we talked about some ways we can serve God, right? Oh, you got one more. All right, James.
Dog could help blind people find the way around.
That's right. They sure could. Service dog. That's right. So I want you to think about tomorrow on your holiday, day off from school, since you're not going to be thinking about math or social studies or history or spelling or English. I want you to think about ways that you as a Christian can help to serve God. Once a week, twice a week, three times a week, maybe seven times a week. Ways you can serve God in your school, ways you can serve God in your neighborhood, ways you can serve God in your community, all right? Because as a Christian, that's one thing that we surely need to do, is to help serve God and help others. All right, let's have a prayer, and let's stand up, all right?
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. May the word of God spoken today compel us to worship without ceasing to the praise of Christ's glorious grace. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning is James chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. Every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. The word of God for the people of God.
Kind of I get more nervous doing that than I do doing this. Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 7th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 8, then over to 14 and 15, and then we'll pick up with verse 21 and go through verse 23. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes had come from Jerusalem and they gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrine. You abandon the commandments of God and hold to human traditions.'" And then over in verse 14, "Then he called the crowd again and said to them, 'Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile.'" And then skipping down to verse 21, Jesus continues on. He says, "For it is within from the human heart that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." From then on, he set out and went to the region of Tyre. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the biggest questions that the earliest Christians had to wrestle with was what religious practices were essential and which ones could be changed or ignored so that the new community could become one. The new communities of faith were springing up all over the Mediterranean world, and they contained people of Jewish heritage, Roman, Greek background. Some had no religious background whatsoever. And so the question, as they began to gather in homes or synagogues or wherever they could find a place to gather, was, what in the world are we going to do with each other? Jesus and the disciples were Jews of Jewish heritage, and so they followed the practices of Judaism. They went to synagogue. They participated in the religious festivals of the day, Passover, Purim, others. They followed the dietary laws and the cleanliness rules and regulations. At least most of the time, they did. The events contained in our lesson from Mark for today take place at a critical juncture in Jesus' earthly ministry. Up until this time, he had largely been speaking to the Jewish community. But after the events in this passage, he begins to reach out. He goes beyond to the Gentiles. And the questions begin, and the troubles with the Pharisees increase. Our story today is about hand washing and how apparently the disciples are not being as vigilant about it as the religious leaders think they should be. For a Jew of that day, cleanliness was next to godliness. In our modern world, there is always a debate about how clean is too clean. A pastor once told the story about a Sunday school teacher that appeared to him after church and began with the dreaded phrase that pastors often worry about, "Let me tell you about what your son said in Sunday school this morning." She had been teaching about God creating Adam from the dust of the earth, to which the pastor's son, Luke, said, "You mean I'm made out of dirt?" And the teacher responded, "Well, yes, in a sense you are." And Luke said, "My mom is not going to be happy about that." One mom was frustrated about how often her 4-year-old son Brian was getting dirty playing outside. And at wit's end, she finally said, "Brian, can't you play someplace that is cleaner?" To which Brian said, If God didn't want us to play in the dirt, why in the world did he make so much of it?" Even science doesn't know how clean is too clean. A while back, there was a New York Times article written by Jane E. Brody titled, "Babies Know a Little Dirt is Good for You." Ask mothers why babies are constantly picking things up from the floor or ground and putting them in their mouths, right, Ms. Brody? And chances are they'll say that that's instinctive. That's how babies explore the world. But why in their mouths when they have their ears to hear and touch and even smell? And all those are better ways at identifying things. But here was the conclusion of many scientists: eating dirt is good for you. In studies of what is called the hygiene hypothesis, researchers are concluding that organisms like bacteria and virus and even worms that enter the body along with the dirt spur the development of healthy immune systems. Dr. Joel V. Weinstock said in an interview that the immune system at birth is like an unprogrammed computer. It needs instructions. Children raised in ultra-clean environments, he added, are not being exposed to organisms that help them develop the appropriate immune regulatory circuits. Children should be allowed, in his opinion, to go barefoot in the dirt, play in the dirt, and not have to wash their hands when they come in to eat. Every mother in the room is cringing at this point. And he pointed out that children who grow up on farms are much less likely to develop allergies and autoimmune diseases. Also helpful, he said, is to let kids have 2 dogs and a cat, which will expose them to intestinal worms that can promote healthy immune systems. I don't know about you, but I would probably draw the line at intestinal worms. The line between too much religious practice and too little is also a fine line. The Pharisees and the scribes had established extensive rules and regulations about what to eat, who to eat with, how to prepare the food. The list went on and on and on. All the rules were drawn from sincere desire to live a godly and righteous life. Being a Jew to them meant following the law to the nth degree. Eat the right foods as prescribed by Scripture. Wash them before you prepare them. Wash the cups and pots and kettles you prepare them and serve the food in. And by practicing these rules, you would be made right with God. You also would be healthier than most of the people in Bible times. But when do people become so caught up in rules and regulations and religious practices that they lose focus on doing what God truly desires? One can easily get caught up in religious practice that you miss out on opportunities to have an intimate, loving relationship with God the Father. You can get so caught up in doing your faith that you forget to be a child of God, be with the community of faith that shows you all about God's love. But then there's a danger on the other end of the spectrum as well. If you don't practice your faith without some norms, following some traditions, the question comes, can you truly understand what God's love is all about? I recently read an article about a young woman who was kind of really, really stretching the boundaries of what it meant to learn about God's love. She had started a podcast called Hot and Bothered, and that it was all based on this strange premise that you could learn something about the love of God by writing your own romance novels. To my way of thinking, you could learn something about a certain type of love from such a practice, but I don't think it'll help you understand much about how God loves you. Maybe I'm just an old stick in the mud. But to me, reading the story of God's love for his people from the beginning to the end of time, participating in the Lord's Supper and baptism, being part of a loving and caring community of faith, will teach you far more about the deeper love found in that close personal relationship with God than reading or writing the next great Harlequin romance. But it does call to mind the question of what religious practices do we practice in the church today that we might need to adjust, that we might need to get rid of in order that we can reach out to a world that seems to be rejecting the traditional church. It doesn't help, though, when we read news of stories of clergy that have abused their special position as representatives of God by participating in actions that are even more lurid than romance novels that the young woman was writing about. It doesn't help that generation after generation of Christians have continued from Jesus' time until today to ignore the prophet Isaiah's warning about honoring God with their lips but turning their hearts far away. There is no wonder that so many people are turning away when churches have abused or ignored their special call to be doers of the faith, not just believers. Which brings us back to the importance of practicing our faith. Kathy talked about it with the children. Working. What are the things that we need to do to show God's love as well as to share God's love? Without practice, a football team will never realize its full potential. A baseball player will never learn to hit a curveball. A basketball player will never learn the importance of defense. Without practicing your faith, your relationship with God will never reach its full potential either. Look at Jesus and what he did. He went to synagogue regularly. He quoted scripture. He prayed. He goes to Jerusalem for Passover. The traditions of the elders was of critical importance to Jesus. So what was the point he was trying to make? Christian practice, when done well, puts us in our place. The practices remind us that we have no other gods before God, before our God. Not sports, not family, not our occupations. We need to worship on Sunday mornings. When you look at, as we drive past restaurants and coffee houses and ballparks, shopping centers that are booming, all busier than church on a Sunday morning, we are witnessing to the fact that by coming to worship, we show the world that God is more important to us than all of these things. Our liturgy tells an alternative story about where people's worth should be found and why each person matters than what the world talks about. Our scriptures reveal a plot counter to the one of death and destruction that is constantly being broadcast everywhere else. these traditions through the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Shape us into those worthy of the calling to which we have been called. And when they don't, they offer us the means to confess and repent and try again. Jesus does not tell the crowd that rituals don't matter, that the traditions of the elders are insignificant or wrongheaded. He tells the Pharisees and the crowd that those practices are not ultimate. God alone is ultimate. Jesus says that these God-given means of grace are mocked when those who practice them do not enact them in their daily living. Jesus says that when those traditions are used as an excuse to do things like abuse or marginalize or ridicule, they enrage God. They are designed to glorify. As Jesus prepares to go to the Gentiles, he makes it unequivocally clear to the Pharisees, to the crowd, and to each of us, nothing God ordained will prevent them from sitting at the table together with people of all races, of all genders, of all ages. Those who once were far away are to be brought close, not because Jesus came to abolish the law, but because he comes to fulfill it. Clean hands mean nothing if the one who has washed doesn't also have a cleansed heart and a right spirit within them. Through the grace of God, may we be those whose lips and words and hearts and hands all glorify God and all do so together. Amen. Let's stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in your aids to worship. Let us affirm together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, was suffered, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 396, Oh for a Closer Walk with God.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Do we have any additional prayer concerns or joys that anyone would like to lift up today? Anybody have one? Okay. All right, if not, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Almighty God, whose testimony is sure and whose ordinances provide a stable foundation, we come with thanksgiving for the guidance of your commandments and all they impart. They are a bulwark that defends us against temptation. They are your gift to us to keep us attuned to your will for our lives. We thank you that we may walk faithfully before you, full of wisdom that you have revealed. We give you thanks for Jesus, who taught his followers the full meaning of the law. He would not allow it to constrain him from serving those in need. Help us to be bold in following his example. Give us also the freedom to move beyond the law in order to fulfill it. Keep us from interpreting your commandments in ways that inhibit our ability to respond to what you intend us to do. May we see in your precepts our charge to become disciples and hear in them your pervasive desire for our allegiance. We give thanks for the Holy Spirit, who interprets your law in specific occasions. We are protected thereby from our own whims and desires. When we should stray or would stray from the task to which you call us, help us sense your Spirit frustrating our attempts. When our own insights fail us, or when we are misled by the counsel of others, give us the patience to wait for your direction and the strength to heed it. Gird us, O God, once again with the truth of Christ's gospel. Make our feet ready to do whatever is necessary to bring peace. Armed with the breastplate of your reconciling forgiveness, we go forth as ambassadors to proclaim your kingdom. And as part of that, we go out in our prayers to those with special needs this day. We lift up to you those who labor, those who Kathy mentioned in the children's message, our first responders, our military personnel in far-off places, as they protect us and as they help to bring about peace in far-off places. We ask that you would continue to be with those on our list this morning, with Claudine, with Amy, with Nelson and Charles, Lib and Matthew, Diane and Martha Jo. Hear our prayers for Beth, for Bill, for Ellen, for Friel, for Ella and Jim and Tom. Continue to be a blessing to Helen and to Caden, to Mary Ann and Mac and Nolte. Lord, hear our prayers and bind us together as your people, praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering?
is God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, who alone can keep us from falling, we come bearing gifts in response to your grace. Thanksgiving we offer for the mercies you give to us. Glad praises we sing for the salvation Christ has won for us. Our acts we commit to your righteous judgment. We acknowledge the guidance your Holy Spirit bestows. All that we have is a gift of salvation, and we commit ourselves to you in response to Christ's call. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And our final hymn, our hymn of commitment, is number 370, the classic, Just As I Am.